Have you ever, tried building something really complex? Maybe like flat pack furniture even, or perhaps designing something digitally.
Oh, definitely.
And you suddenly hit that point where you realize there's all this hidden stuff going on underneath,
Yeah.
these sort of unseen complexities making it actually work.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens. The most intricate engineering is often totally invisible, isn't it? You see a finished car, a bridge,
Right.
but you don't see the, well, the millions of calculations that make sure it doesn't just fall apart.
Exactly. And that hidden complexity, that's what we're digging into today. We're taking a deep dive into something called the finite element method, or FEM.
Ah, yes, FEM, foundational stuff.
It really is. It's this super powerful numerical tool engineers use. It predicts how structures react, think bridges vibrating or car parts under stress. It's crucial for design.
Absolutely critical. But, and this is a big but, FEM has this one major hurdle. It can take up, believe it or not, over 80% of the entire analysis time.
80%. Wow. What takes so long?
It's mesh generation. You have to chop up your complex shape into loads of tiny, simple pieces, elements. They form a mesh.
Okay.
And this mesh needs to be incredibly precise. The key thing, it has to be tangle-free.
Tangle-free. But I guess reality isn't always that neat, right?
Exactly. Here's the twist. Even with the best software, engineers often end up with these tangled
Tangled
elements.
elements. What does that even mean in a digital context?
Imagine one of those little digital shapes literally folding over itself, crumpled up. The sources call them non-convex, meaning they have dents or caves, or they have a negative Jacobian determinant.
Okay, negative Jacobian determinant. Sounds
It
technical.
is, but think of it like this. It's a check for orientation. Negative means the element has kind of flipped or twisted inside out mathematically.
Like a sock turned the wrong way.
Pretty much. And this isn't just a tiny glitch. Even one single tangled element, it can completely wreck a standard FEM analysis.
Seriously, one element.
Yep. You get erroneous results or solutions that make no physical sense. Weeks of work, potentially wasted.
That sounds incredibly frustrating, especially if the best tools still create them.
It is, especially with complex 3D shapes like hexahedral meshes. They're powerful but prone to tangling. And the kicker is trying to untangle them. Well, it's often impossible.
Impossible. Or just really hard.
Often practically impossible under the constraints. Or it's incredibly expensive computationally, time-consuming, and there's no guarantee it'll even work. One source says it flat out. It is probably impossible to untangle the mesh under these hard constraints.
It also says you have to untangle them because they give invalid solutions.
Precisely, that's the dilemma. You need clean meshes, but complex shapes often lead to tangled ones you can't easily fix. It's a huge bottleneck.
Right, so engineers are kind of stuck. You need these simulations, but the meshing holds you back.
Until now, maybe? Oh, okay. So the big question then becomes, what if you didn't need to untangle them? What if you could just work with the tangled mesh, especially for something like vibration analysis?
And that's exactly the breakthrough we're looking at today. A totally new approach that just sidesteps the whole untangling issue.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What is it?
It's called the Isoperometric Tangled Finite Element Method. ITM for short.
ITM.
It's a method specifically designed by researchers to handle these tangled meshes directly.
Wait.
And the elegant part, it modifies the standard FEM approach, doesn't completely throw it out.
That sounds promising. So, less of a steep learning curve, maybe. What are the main advantages?
Well, first off, like you said, it's not a whole new system. If your mesh is entangled, ITFEM just behaves like standard FEM, familiar ground.
Okay, that's good.
Second, it only needs minimal changes to the existing FEM framework. So integrating it should be relatively straightforward.
Easier adoption, right? And crucially, it actually works on those tricky real-world tangled meshes that advanced methods often produce. That's where the pain point really is.
And our focus for this deep dive is vibration analysis using this method.
Exactly. Free and forced vibration problems. Extending it here is a big deal because understanding how things vibrate is fundamental in engineering. Think aircraft, buildings,
Everything, really.
pretty much. And the study we're looking at covers both 2D and 3D using common element types: Q4 quadrilaterals, Q9 quads, and H8 hexahedra.
Okay, so let's get into the nuts and bolts. How does ITFEM actually do this? How does it work with a crumpled up digital element?
So remember that idea of the element folding onto itself?
Yeah.
That creates an overlapping region or a fold. Now think about the element's original blueprint, its perfect shape in parametric
Yeah,
space.
ideal square or cube.
Right. When it folds in reality, parts of that blueprint map to the physical shape in a way that gives them that negative Jacobian. They've inverted themselves in the mapping.
Okay, so some parts are right way out, some are inside out.
Exactly. And the core idea, the real trick of ITFEM, is to treat the right way out parts the positive Jacobian regions, or J+, and the inside out parts the negative Jacobian regions, J, separately.
Why separately?
Because within each of those regions, the mapping from the blueprint to the physical shape is still valid, still mathematically sound, even if one region is inverted overall.
Huh. Okay. But if you're calculating something like the element's total mass or area,
yeah,
how do you avoid counting the overlapping part twice?
Good question. That's a key modification. Standard FEM just adds contributions, but ITFEM knows that the J region is inverted. So to get the correct total, any integrals calculated over these negative components are subtracted.
Subtracted. Ah, to cancel out the double counting from the overlap.
Precisely. It's a clever adjustment to the standard integration rules.
But wait, if parts overlap physically, or at least digitally, how do you make sure the physics is consistent? The material in the overlap can't move in two different ways at once.
Absolutely crucial point. This is where compatibility constraints come in. ITFM forces the displacement fields how the material moves to be identical in that overlapping fold region. No discontinuities allowed.
How does it force that?
It uses a mathematical technique called the Lagrange multiplier method.
Right, Lagrange multipliers. They sort of add a penalty if things don't match up, ensuring the condition is met.
Exactly. It mathematically enforces that physical consistency, even across the digital tangle.
Okay, so conceptually it makes sense. But does this make the calculations way more complicated? All this separating regions, subtracting, adding constraints?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? But here's another really neat part. Calculating the core matrices, like stiffness and mass, is actually very similar to standard FEM.
Really? How?
The key insight is this. During the integration step, you just need to keep track of the sign of the Jacobian determinant, whether it's positive or negative. You don't just take its absolute value like you might normally.
Ah, so the negative sign naturally handles the subtraction needed for the folded parts.
Exactly. And because of this simple trick, they can still use standard efficient integration methods, like Gauss integration, over the entire element blueprint, the whole parametric space. No need for brand new complex integration schemes.
That's incredibly efficient. What about the constraints, though? Doesn't enforcing those require difficult calculations over that weirdly shaped fold?
That's where they use another shortcut. Instead of complex integration over the fold, they use a point collocation approach.
Point collocation, meaning?
Meaning they just check the constraint that the displacements match at a few specific points within the fold region. They evaluate the element's behavior, its shape functions at these points.
So just checking at strategic points is enough. It avoids the messy integration.
Yes, it circumvents that whole computational headache. For the simpler Q4 and H8 elements, you only need one constraint equation per tangled element. For the more complex Q9, you need 6. But it's still way more efficient than direct integration over the fold.
Okay, the theory sounds elegant, efficient, but does it actually work in practice? What did the tests show?
This is where it gets really convincing. They ran numerical experiments, starting with a classic benchmark, the cantilever beam, both 2D and 3D versions.
Okay, standard test case. What happened?
Well, first they looked at free vibration, the natural frequencies the beam likes to vibrate at. Standard FEM, run on the tangled meshes. It gave incorrect solutions, just wrong answers.
Expected, based on what we've discussed.
Right, but ITFEM run on the exact same tangled meshes. It consistently converged to the correct values, the same ones you'd get from standard FEM on a perfect, untangled mesh.
Wow. So it handled the tangles perfectly for free vibration.
Yes. For all the element types tested, Q4, Q9, H8. And interestingly, with the Q9 elements, the errors from standard FEM were even worse, making ITFEM look even better.
What about forcing the beam, like applying a load over time?
Same story. For forced vibration, they tracked the displacement at the beam's tip. ITFEM's predictions match the correct reference solution beautifully. Standard FEM on the tangled mesh, way off. Incorrect results again.
It seems pretty robust. Did they test how badly tangled the mesh could be?
They did. They used a parameter T to control the extent of tangling. And this was fascinating, as D increased, making the tangling worse.
Let me guess, standard FEM got worse.
Dramatically worse. Its solutions moved increasingly farther away from the right answer.
And ITFEM?
ITFEM solutions kept converging to the correct results, even with more severe tangling. It showed remarkable stability.
That's impressive.
And interestingly, for very low tangling, like D less than 0.2, ITFEM's results were basically identical to standard FEMs on a good mesh, so it adapts.
Okay, so benchmark tests look great. Did they try it on anything more? Real world.
Yes, and that's perhaps the strongest evidence. They applied ITFEM to actual real-world tangled meshes of industrial parts, a linking rod, and a block. Meshes generated by advanced methods that ended up tangled.
The kind of meshes engineers actually encounter and struggle with.
Exactly, and the big takeaway. ITFEM completely eliminates the need for untangling these meshes.
Which, as you said, might be impossible anyway.
Right. And the results. The natural frequencies calculated using ITFEM on these messy, tangled, real-world meshes were comparable to those obtained from carefully prepared, untangled meshes of the same parts.
Comparable results without the weeks of untangling effort. That's huge.
It is. And the efficiency, this is crucial. The actual computer time to run the ITFEM simulation was almost identical to running standard FEM.
No way. Even with the extra constraint handling.
Within 3% of the standard FEM time, according to the source. And remember, that 3% doesn't include the potential massive amount of time saved by not having to untangle the mesh in the first place.
So you get accurate results on complex tangled meshes in basically the same simulation time, and you skip the whole entangling nightmare.
That's the promise. It could dramatically speed up design cycles for complex geometries.
You mentioned the constraints earlier. How critical are they really? What happens if you leave them out?
Ah, they tested that too. Without the compatibility constraints ensuring the displacements match in the fold, you get junk. Well, spurious modes appear in the vibration analysis. These are like mathematical ghost frequencies and vibration shapes that don't correspond to any real physical behavior. Nonsense results.
So the constraints are essential for getting physically meaningful answers.
Absolutely. With the constraints applied using ITFEM, those spurious modes vanished. Clean results. It shows the method isn't just getting an answer. It's getting the right physically reliable answer.
Okay, so pulling this all together, what's the big picture here? What does ITFEM really mean for engineers, for designers, for, you know, people listening?
I think the profound implication is freedom. Freedom to mesh complex shapes much more quickly and easily without being terrified of a few tangled elements stopping the whole process.
Less time fighting the software, more time designing.
Exactly. It could significantly speed up how we analyze the dynamics of really intricate structures and potentially improve the accuracy, too, because you're not compromising the geometry just to get an untangled mesh.
It really does sound like a significant step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Are there limitations? Things it can't handle yet?
Yes, the researchers are upfront about that. It currently doesn't handle degenerate elements where the Jacobian determinant is exactly zero, meaning the element has collapsed to a line or point.
Okay.
Or fully inverted elements, where the Jacobian is negative everywhere inside, not just in a folded part. So there's still work to be done for those extreme cases.
Which naturally leads to the question of future work. But it does make you wonder, if we can crack tangled elements, what other really difficult meshing problems might be solvable with similar ideas?
That's a great question. It definitely opens doors, maybe approaches for elements with very poor quality or other kinds of geometric complexities that currently cause headaches.
So to wrap up, this isoperimetric tangled finite element method, ITFEM, seems like a genuinely powerful way to get accurate simulation results, especially for vibrations, even when your digital building blocks, the mesh elements, are messy and tangled.
It bypasses that huge untangling bottleneck, saving potentially enormous amounts of time and effort while still delivering reliable results comparable to using a perfect mesh.
Which leaves us with a thought to ponder. If engineers are freed from these really difficult meshing constraints for complex shapes, what kinds of designs, maybe previously considered too difficult or impossible to analyze reliably, could now become feasible? Think aerospace, complex medical implants, advanced manufacturing.
Yeah, what new possibilities open up when you can simulate the truly complex tangles and all? The future of design might just have gotten a lot less tangled itself.